Meeting will come to order. For the record, it's March 9, 2011. It's 9:16. And also for the record, we have Representative Sisna, Wilson, Pruitt, Seaton, and Kawasaki and Feige here, and myself, Chair Alan Dick. And we do have a quorum to conduct business. Turn off your cell phone. I was spared. My cell phone was on that whole time. Someone was looking out for me. And the purpose of our meeting today is to hear HB 154, Pre-Elementary Plans and Guidelines. This will be the first hearing. We'll hear from the sponsor and take public testimony, and we will hold it for further review. So, Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to address you to discuss early education. And, Mr. Chairman, you're very fond of telling us that there's 129,000 students who are going to school every morning in the K-12 system, but that neglects the 7,300 teachers who are employed in early education programs, 8,000 who are indirectly employed, 7,800 students who are enrolled in early education pre-K systems throughout the state, 65,000 children who are under the age of 6 and most likely in some sort of a educational setting, and 18,000 children who are in childcare, in the childcare setting. And so when we talk about education and the continuum of education, which is a constitutional requirement of the state, I hope that we start to discuss education in terms of birth all the way through life. Mr. Chairman, I have my assistant, Alicia, and she will introduce the highlights of the bill. I know there's a number of people who are here to testify, and there may be some folks online if the system resolves itself. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll pass it off.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Alicia Maria, and I'm an intern for Representative Kawasaki. I'm just going to go over a couple key points regarding the bill and why we feel that it's necessary to implement an early education program. Throughout the research process, I found many things surprising. First of all, Alaska is one of only 12 states that doesn't fund pre-K programs on a statewide basis. There's been a lot of talk recently about raising academic standards in the state and giving children the best education that we can give them, yet we aren't starting at the beginning level, you know, before kindergarten. One of the fundamental solutions to some of the problems, I lost my place. Oh, Mr. Millett spoke about the dropout rate in the state and kids having to take remedial classes in college, and one of the solutions would be starting kids out at an earlier age. And the state constitution says that the education is one of the primary responsibilities of the state, yet we aren't addressing that at the pre-kindergarten age. So HB 154 seeks to add Alaska among the ranks of other states that recognize children who benefit from early education. Extensive research shows that a child's intellectual development is especially important before the age of 6. Mr. Millett mentioned that about 85% of core brain development happens before age 4. There are academic and economic outcomes to early education. Children who receive early education do better in reading and math, are more likely to graduate from high school and go on to college. Economic outcomes, which Mr. Millett did a wonderful presentation on, are private and public. Alaskans would save money because children who receive early education are less likely to need remedial or special education. They're more likely to stay off public assistance and out of jail, and on average make about 33% more than those who did not receive early education. If that pleases the committee, I will just move on to the sectional analysis and discuss what the bill does. It's a simple bill, really. There's only three sections. The first section means that the state would have to devise a plan for early education programs that would work with Head Start and other programs currently running. The second says that the department should adopt guidelines that are cost efficient and also to make them voluntary or optional. And the third says that the department should adopt guidelines that are cost efficient and, I'm sorry, the third requires a report of the plan to be submitted by January of next year. And then, do you want me to talk about the fiscal?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And then I'll just move on to the fiscal note. The total cost would be $150,000, $40,000 of which would go to contracting out someone to write the plan. There are travel costs for four statewide meetings with district representation, which is $86,455. And the last part of the fiscal note is there would be a final council review and publication of the plan, which is $23,545.
I think the fiscal note's part of the packet. If it's, I don't have a copy of it. Oh, there it is. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I know that there's a lot of folks here who wanted to testify on behalf of the bill that are here that aren't from the Juneau area, and so I wanted to allow time for them, and then I think if it pleases the chairman, come back to discuss the bill further. Unless there's questions now.
Any questions from committee?
I can
wait. Very good. Okay, then we will take public comment, and we have signed up here is John Alcantara here from NEA.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is John Alcantara. I serve as Government Relations Director for the National Education Association of Alaska, representing about almost 13,000 public school employees and retirees from Ketchikan to Barrow and all parts in between. First off, I wanted to comment on the outstanding presentation that you witnessed earlier. Mr. Millett, I think, underplays his PowerPoint skills and presentation. It was definitely one of the better ones I've seen in my years around this building, which date back to 1984. But one of the things, certainly want to get on the record that NEA Alaska supports House Bill 154. Appreciate you hearing this bill today and the work Representative Kawasaki and his co-sponsors. In spite of what may or may not be happening in other committees in this building, I think the folks that were here today realize the importance investment in pre-K that really needs to occur to keep Alaska competitive. I found the co-chair of the Senate side mentioning how difficult change is and the phone calls that he was getting and his staff was getting from folks that may not have been too enamored with changing the dates of attendance for schools. It was interesting. But one of the things, and I've long forgotten the presenter, but I certainly haven't forgotten the quote at a Lincoln Day dinner that I attended in Anchorage several years ago, that change occurs when the necessity for it overcomes our resistance to it. And I think the necessity for pre-K and for Alaska to join 38 other states in investing in pre-K is certainly there. I think this small fiscal note in House Bill 154 to begin this plan, this $150,000 fiscal note, is a wise investment. And I definitely look forward to, at your discretion and the committee's discretion, moving this legislation on to the Finance Committee and letting them have a discussion about whether this very small investment is worthwhile. So again, NEA Alaska members, through our delegate assembly, which met in the end of January, has about 400 elected delegates of our 13,000 members. They have several NBIs, which are like pieces of legislation. They're called new business initiatives, several that that support all the efforts of pre-K. This particular piece of legislation came out after the end of January, but certainly falls into many pieces of NEA Alaska policy business that support pre-K education. So thank you. As a parent of four children and one three-year-old, I certainly look forward to this legislation and other pre-K legislation moving forward. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Any question from committee? Okay. Thank you. Is it Joy Lyon? Is that correct? Joy. Please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Joy Lyon. I live here in Juneau, and I'm the director of the Association for the Education of Young Children in Southeast Alaska. We're also the THREAD Child Care Resource and Referral Agency, and we're the Best Beginnings Partner. And we operate the Imagination Library in Juneau and support 12 other communities in Southeast Alaska. So today I would like to just describe how on the ground the Best Beginnings Partnerships and Parents as Teachers fit into the early learning system and how that fits starting in the early years, you know, in addition to pre-K funds. And I'd like to just tell you the story about my haircut yesterday, because that illustrates it perfectly. I went to get my haircut in preparation for this meeting with you all, and I sat down and I saw a little picture of a one-year-old girl on my hairdresser's stand, and I said, "Oh, is that your little girl?" She said, "Yes," and I said, "Oh, does she get the Imagination Library books?" And she said, "Oh, she loves those books. We get one every month." And she proceeded for 40 minutes to describe each and every book and how her little daughter every night says, you know, "Good night, gorilla," you know, and she's read the book so many times that she's had to scotch tape practically the whole book for her 1.5-year-old. And then she said, "And we also get these bulletins every month that invite us to different events in the community." And she says, "I haven't really tried going to the library events because I'm not sure she's ready for that, but we went to the family swim." And so they have, in addition, you know, it's like these books for Imagination Library are the hook. And then we reel them in. We reel them into these other family literacy events and supports. So we have bulletins each month that we send out to the Imagination Library families, which is over 1,000 in Juneau alone. So over half the children in Juneau are now enrolled. And there are some tips about different activities they can do, as well as all our partner communities, the Best Beginnings partners, create this together in terms of all the different opportunities that we have for parents, which before Best Beginnings, we didn't have that coordination to be able to put ourselves on the same page. And the Best Beginnings Partnership is like a magnet that draws together all the different elements that are working in early learning at a local level. And it really is, I was happy to see Carl Rose here from the Association of Alaska, Alaska School Board Association. And because Best Beginnings is to early childhood what the Association of Alaska School Boards is to K through 12. We really need that support, that technical assistance. We did a community needs assessment together with Best Beginnings support and consultation. And we determined that parents as teachers is our next step, is our highest priority in Juneau, to really build on this system of connecting parents with early literacy. So we've got them their resources, their books every month. We've got these family events happening throughout our community. We need that Parents as Teachers program to have that individual consultation with the parents to really help them, because if we can impact those parents to read more with their children 20 minutes a day, by the time they get to kindergarten, they're a year ahead. They've got a whole year's worth of reading time, of their education time. So I really urge you that as you're considering how Alaska is going to move ahead in our early learning, to really be inclusive in a broad way about making sure that it's not just a pre-K classroom, but really using those early years, birth to three, and engaging parents. And I'd also like to just urge people to keep having the governor has a early childhood coordinating council is appointed, and we're waiting for that first meeting, because I think that is also very important for us to, in moving ahead, is to have that state system in place. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I will note that in your early beginning, your parents did quite well in naming you. You do have quite a bit of joy. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Abby, excuse me. I'm sorry. Representative Seaton has a question.
Thank you. The bill that we have before us that requires the department, have you analyzed that? I mean, I'm trying to figure out whether what you're talking about is a community integration of an elevation of early childhood. The bill before us has two requirements, one on the Department of Education to do things, and the other is for the board. But where the department is concerned in the requirements in the bill, does that adequately get to where you're wanting to go, or do you feel that the requirement of the department would be more focused in the school classroom and an extension of kindergarten?
Well, I have to apologize that we have our conference happening this week, and so I've been really focused on that, and I haven't had the attention to really fully engage in discovering or finding out about that question. And that is my question as well, is, you know, making sure that when we move forward into a early learning system, it goes beyond just a pre-K classroom, because that is one, you know, working with 3 and 4 year olds in a school district classroom is one piece of our early learning system. But we really need to have the highest leverage for our dollar, and that's that birth to three. So I would just encourage you to keep exploring that question, because I have that question also.
Follow up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess what I would like to do is, we're holding this bill, so I'd like, when you're having your conference and all, if you can figure out ways to give us suggestions of how to incorporate that, because I have this kind of concern that if we're putting a requirement on the department, the department is going to focus on what its normal purview is, and I'm not sure that totally gets us where we want to go. So we're going to need suggestions from the early childhood community, as well as from the department, of how to go forward. I mean, we've heard for several years, parents as teachers, we've worked on some of those issues. We found that was most effective in some of the communities here in Southeast of any program that there has been. But I want to make sure that as the bill goes forward, it truly incorporates what's going to be most effective. And so I appreciate the latitude to request you to send us written materials or come back and testify, but written materials would be very helpful if you would analyze that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Any other questions, committee?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joy. Okay, Abby Hensley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Abby Hensley. I'm the executive director for Best Beginnings. And Joy and I didn't practice this, but you probably would think that we did based on the comments that I have to make, which certainly follow on hers and build on what she had to say. I also would like to take this opportunity, Representative Dick, to thank you and your staff for helping to make Bill Millett's presentation possible. So glad that everybody could be here for that. In looking at what this bill talks about and calls for, I first would like to commend Representative Kawasaki and his colleagues for taking this issue up, because early childhood, early learning is critical. And I also am appreciative of the fact that they are looking for a plan. For too long in our state, we've done things sort of willy-nilly. You know, we have money for this, so let's do that. here's money for this, so we'll do that. And so thinking about bringing things together into a plan is something that Best Beginnings, that we're really very, very concerned about. I also appreciate the recognition of the early learning guidelines, which the state has adopted, the State Board of Education and Early Development adopted as well, and that is those early learning guidelines, which really are the basis for all the early childhood work that we think should be done in our state. For example, they're part of the plan that has recently been revisited to develop a quality rating improvement system, or a QRIS. They're part of the requirements, as I recall, for the pilot pre-K program. So that we look at these guidelines, these early learning guidelines, as really providing the foundation for all the early childhood work that we do. What I would like to see, rather than, as has been mentioned, a plan for education for 3- and 4-year-olds, which, as Representative Seaton said, oftentimes is the department, it's what's known already, but to look at a more comprehensive view, to look, as Joy mentioned, to the birth to age 5 age range, to and the Alaska Education Plan does reflect that birth to age 5 in one of the pieces of it now, and to include all the components that we might think of that would go into early learning. So both high-quality formal programs and some of those other more informal programs and even just informal activities that are similar to those that Joy mentioned as well, in which parents are invited to bring their children to come to a family fun night or to some other kind of activity. And the Alaska Early Childhood Coordinating Council, which has been several years in the making, and I'm very pleased to say that there was a meeting yesterday with the Commissioner of Health and Social Services and the Commissioner of Education and Early Development and their staff, and a meeting has finally been set. So we're pleased that this is moving forward, that this council really is will be in a perfect position to take up this kind of work, to develop a plan, to look at what we really want to do in our state, what the state investment ought to be in early learning across the board, and then how we're going to get at that, what the state investment is, what the private sector investment is, and what measurable outcomes we're looking for. So I'm very pleased that you're taking up this issue, and I hope that as work moves forward on it, that we can think about expanding from a little bit from what has already been stated in the bill, so that it really is a comprehensive look at early learning in our state for children from birth to school entry. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from committee? Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for being here, Abby. I really appreciate all that you do for early education issues. You mentioned the pilot pre-K program, and I know that this committee and the Finance Committee has wrestled with the pilot pre-K program that's in its second or third year now. Can you give us some I don't know if you don't have the statistics in front of you, but any sort of, evidence that it's really worked? And then can you speak to the fact that, typically when you've got these early education, early intervention type programs, that you don't get results for 20 or 30 or 40 years out? So can you kind of expand upon the results that we've gotten so far?
Through the chair, Representative Kawasaki, I really can't talk about the results, but there are others in the room, I think, that might be able to do that. I think you're right in that when we look at a pilot program, it needs to be in effect for a period of time so that we can see some results. And results from this, I think, will not be are children graduating from high school? Are they getting good jobs? Are they going, are they productive members of society? But rather, as I understood it, part of what we were looking for, and this is a very, very collective we're looking for with this, it's what works where. What are the kinds of things that are working in this community that can be replicated in another place? Where do we see the greatest kinds of parent engagement? And why do we think that's so? How can that be replicated somewhere else? So to look at the different programs in the different districts and to say what looks like best practice here. So that's the kind of thing that I hope we can take from the pilot and then figure out what to do.
Representative Sisna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Abby, and thank you very much for being here because this is so important and your leadership has been really important. Back in the old days, when we were being parents, it was a different world, and I was a part of, and I know there were a number of other groups like it, of young moms with kids that would get together regularly. And I don't know that that's going on or it's being encouraged, but I can see many families that I do know that have economic challenges, got two working parents, but that group idea allowed us to do trading babysitting with people who we knew well and who were doing the same kinds of things that we were doing. Is that kind of thing being encouraged or worked out? Because in this new setup, you've got potential in rural areas of it being brought into the school system that has the potential of streaming or video teleconferencing or something with people who could help the parents be the teachers. Maybe you've already got something like that in mind, but that natural volunteer that in the mom would be, that's the part to me that seems just so important in this. So could you maybe speak to kind of what ideas have been out there?
Through the chair, Representative Sista. Very good points, and yes, we were mothers together many years ago. And this is the kind of thing I think that that the local partnerships, like the one that Joy heads up here in Juneau, that local partnerships are taking up as part of their plans, is figuring out with when they do an assessment in their community, when they then develop priorities based on that assessment, and then create a strategic plan with some measurable outcomes. Those are the kinds of things that they're looking at. So I can't point you to a particular area. I know that my daughter-in-law in Anchorage, who is a full-time working parent of a five-month-old, she tells me about some informal groups that she's been part of. And I know that there are classes at Providence Hospital in Anchorage, for example. And I think that those kinds of things are out there. And part of what the local partnerships can do through the newsletter that Joy talked about and through the family website that we helped Fairbanks develop, that kind of information can get out to people in a way that perhaps it hadn't before.
Excuse me, Representative Feige.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your organization's been around for, appears to be, approximately 5 years. And it says here that you get funding from a variety of sources. How adequate is the funding that you currently generate to do the projects that you're, or do the programs that you're trying to do?
Through the chair, Representative Feige, we do receive funding from, have received funding from the state, as well as from a number of private foundations, corporations, and individuals. And I think that as we are ramping up the work with the local partnerships and with Imagination Library, that the need will indeed increase. For example, with Imagination Library, which Best Beginnings typically operates on a matching basis with, operates is not really the right word, but works with communities on a matching funding basis. You know, when we think about the fact that there are about 50,000 children under the age of five, and currently, this very month, books are being provided to 12,260 children, you can see that there's a big gap. And so while we have been grateful for the funding that Best Beginnings has received from the state, particularly last year, and we would look forward to being able to at least continue the services that we have been doing this year.
Follow up.
And to that degree, with these partnerships and whatnot, how many other pre-K type programs are there in the state besides yours? Not necessarily programs that extend across the entire state, but you know, it seems to me that if I wanted to send my child to a pre-K program, there was one that I could go to. In fact, she did.
Through the chair, Representative Feige. Best Beginnings really brings people and resources together so that communities can develop activities and programs for their children. So Best Beginnings does not operate a pre-K program. And I think that part of what the local partnerships in the 11 communities across the state where there are these partnerships, part of what they're doing is to help families find those kinds of services. So that with the newsletter that Joy mentioned, with the Fairbanks website that I mentioned, those are some of the kinds of things that parents can look to find programs for their children. And I know that the Department of Education and Early Development, besides overseeing Head Start, also oversees a preschool. I'm not sure if it's called preschool certification anymore, but there was a mechanism for preschools to become recognized by the state.
Thank you. Representative Wolfson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate what you're doing, Abby, and I think I've made the comment before, if we can get the parents trained, then there will be a lot of kids that will be coming up the line that will really have a foundation that they might not have had before. In my town, we have of Wrangell, we have a partnership going, and we're one of the top schools in the state. But we're on an island where, you know, there's people there that have never left the island. But there's a lot of parental support going on, and they're learning how to, well, let's just face it, in the state of Alaska, we have a lot of single parents. And I think that when you become a parent as a teenager, that you really don't know how to parent, unless somebody comes in and kind of explains how to do it. I think it's needed so bad across the state. I think that, you know, this bill wants a plan to be put in place, but I think maybe that there's some plans across the state that are working, that we know they're with proven outcomes, with best practices, you might say, and maybe if we just did some more funding in the areas that we know already are working, and I'm thinking of a Native village in southeast Alaska, Puna, that they're really endorsing the Best Beginnings plan, mm-hmm. and the parents are really involved, and that's making a difference there. Can we, by giving you more money without having the state to go out and say, well, okay, we're going to start over from scratch. Seems to me like you guys have a pretty darn good plan, and if we could, because you aren't actually teaching pre-K, but you're going out and you're trying to find ways to partnership with other areas and finding out what's working in that community of Huna, that's a village, a Native village. How can we take that in another Native village and make it work? Sounds like you have a pretty good plan, and I really appreciate what you're doing. Do you think that we need to start over and plan something else? What do you think?
Through the chair, thank you very much for your kind comments, Representative Wilson. Best Beginnings really is in the business of bringing people together in communities, empowering parents through several different mechanisms. I think that as we look toward this new Early Childhood Coordinating Council and look at across the board all the work that has been done in early childhood, that is being done, that could be done, as we collect all that information together, I think that together with this council that we can come up with a good plan in our state that takes into account the various components, both formal and informal, state-funded, not state-funded, so that we really can have a much better look at the whole system. That would include, frankly, child care, Head Start, preschool, and then some of those other more informal kinds of programs.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Abby, I don't know if you can help me on this or not, but, you know, a couple years ago, we were in the Education Committee looking at results. And there were some studies from across the nation that were looking at tracking kids that went through Head Start and kids that did not. And by the age, by third grade, the results were the same. The advantage was there the year at the first year of school, and then that advantage between kids had disappeared by grade three. And so we were looking at doing the pilot pre-K here in Alaska to find out what programs that we could have here that would produce lasting results. But, you know, part of our problem is how do we measure and what's the appropriate time to measure as to whether those results are lasting. And I understand the brain development piece, but if it becomes something that we can't measure by the time of third grade, then it becomes difficult to say that it's that we're on the right track with that. So I guess, can you kind of relate to us how we should be measuring the effectiveness of programs? And like I say, we did there were several models that were done for the pre-K. We're not to where we're even measuring those results yet, but how do we measure the effectiveness of programs other than just, you know, one community and say, well, it appeared to work there? How do we do that?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, I think if we had the answer to that question, we could all go home. But you're right that it's a very important question to ask and to keep asking. Some of the things that I've looked at most recently say that children will do better for a longer period of time if there's greater, well, first of all, that the program has to be high quality. And frankly, that's oftentimes hard to come by. So a high quality program, one that includes and engages parents in a meaningful way. One that there's some kind of continuing of engagement into the school district and on through the grades, so that we don't just say, well, here's the inoculation or the immunization, and, you know, amen, but that it's high quality, that there's a high level of parent engagement that continues through the grades, and that there's connection between those early pre-K programs, preschool programs, and what happens then in kindergarten, first, second, and third grade. There are some other studies that have just been released that from some other states and their programs, and they're seeing different kinds of results. Also, this is my friend Susan Anderson, who is chair of our Early Learning Council and is the president and CEO of the Siri Foundation. She just recently attended a meeting in Washington, D.C. that was about focusing on reading by third grade and having children be proficient readers by third grade, and that the kinds of things that they were looking at in terms of test scores had some correlation certainly to whether children had a good background before they got to third grade. If I could just add one other thing. When we talk about getting kids ready, and it's ready for more than just do they know colors and numbers and shapes, but are they really ready for all the things that school has to offer them? And we talk about the brain development early on. A couple of things that I wanted to just share with you in Juneau, for example, with Imagination Library, they're enrolling children at the hospital when they're born. Best Beginnings just recently got a grant from Providence Health and Services to enroll all the children, and obviously with parent permission, but to enroll all the children who are born in the Providence Hospital in Anchorage, and then to move on to Valdez and Kodiak when those communities can get their Imagination Library programs going. So when we think about children receiving books when they're 2 months old, and if they also are enrolled in a Parents as Teachers program, for example, or some other home visiting program, that person coming into the home would know that they had just gotten, you know, X book, that they could then build on that. That as children grow older, the parents continue to be invited to age-appropriate activities for their families through Imagination Library. And I think there are some things that we can do to continue to make sure that that children, by the time they even get into a more formal classroom program, have the kind of support and development that we would want them to have, so that not only will they be successful then, but that they will continue on because they have the support of their families.
Okay, if we could, I think we have some momentum here, but we're running out of time. If we could just hold public testimony, is going to remain open, and but I do want to put HB 154 aside just for the review. We're certainly going to hear more on this. But we are at the end of the agenda, but I would like to announce that next Friday on March 11th, we're going to have a joint meeting again with the other body and the Terry Miller building and the gymnasium, not here up the hill. And I really wrestle with that meeting. The first hour, we're going to hear from the Higher Education and Career Readiness Task Force. Well, there's 20 people who put a huge amount of time in that. And I really had to wrestle because they wanted 2 hours of our time. And I really wanted to show respect for them and the huge amount of effort they put in. But at the same time, Representative Tuck, who I forgive me, sir, for not acknowledge you being in the room today, I wanted to hear HB 49, the Parents as Teachers program, while that follows the presentation we had today. That was the idea, was that we would have the presentation we had this morning, we'd hear this bill, and we'd hear from Representative Tuck. So I think there's some momentum in that direction as well. So I was really torn as to whether to give them 2 hours on Friday or not. But we made the decision. So Friday, the first hour will be in the Terry Miller building in the gymnasium. We will return to our usual place, 106, and we will probably about 9:05, 9:10, somewhere in there, because there are people who came to Juneau and are staying in Juneau just to testify before us for that bill. So I want to respect them and their plans and their, you know, their desire to, you know, to be here in person. So, with that, I think we're going to gavel out, and we'll meet again on Friday morning, 8 o'clock in Terry Miller.